Good morning and welcome to Citizens Consumer Services Committee meeting. Once again, if you are not speaking on today's call, please press star 6 to mute your line. We ask that this call is not placed on hold, and you may press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your line. Thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing our committee. Again, our board meetings and committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available at our website. Chairman, please let me know when you would like for me to begin with roll call.
Barbara, Betty Brown, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Blake Capps.
Present here.
Greg Roque.
Here.
Bill Zellman.
Present.
Tasha Carter.
Here.
Reynolds Henderson.
Present.
And those are the board members. I'm going to actually request a roll call for staff. Christine Ashburn.
I'm here, Barbara. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And Steve Vitar.
I am here as well, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you. And President Gilway.
I'm here, Barbara. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Chairman Brown, you have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and get started. A quick comment that I'm glad that we could get together even telephonically today and hoping everyone's safe and healthy. We have minutes for the meeting of December 5th, and assuming that everyone has read those and there are no changes, I would accept a motion to approve those minutes from December 5th.
This is Reynolds Henderson. I make a motion to minute.
Is there a second?
Madam Chairman, this is Blake Capps. I'll make that motion, or I'll, okay. I'll second.
And if any further discussion? Okay, that motion carries. Thank you. I assume Alden Mullins is on the phone to talk about the consumer complaint data update information.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
So for the record, I'm Alden Mullins, Director of Insurance Communications. I'm here to provide a brief overview of the customer correspondence team and their role in the organization. I'll also be highlighting some trends regarding the correspondence we received in 2019 and some statistics regarding complaints. I'd like to take a moment to recognize Mary Mobley, who is the manager of the customer correspondence team, and she's on the call today listening, and just thank her for the role and all her team plays in the organization and all the hard work they do on behalf of our policyholders. So if you're following along, I'm going to go to slide 2 in the PowerPoint presentation. The customer correspondence team, which is known internally at Citizens as the CCT, was formed in 2006 and is responsible for responding to all written communications that come into the organization. Although they do handle complaints, this is actually only one aspect of their overall role. However, there are very strict rules in the Citizens Plan of Operations and Florida statutes requiring Citizens to maintain specific methods and timelines for responding to and resolving consumer complaints. So these particular inquiries are always a primary focus for the team. We use a system that tracks the topic of the inquiry, who sent it, how they sent it to us, and of course, if it was a complaint. A complaint is defined as a written expression of dissatisfaction from a policyholder or their representative. And as we go through, you'll see that the majority of the correspondence we receive are not complaints, and our goal is to keep it that way. We provide a thorough response on the original inquiry to keep them from escalating to a complaint. Slide 3. Customer correspondence works closely with the External and Legislative Affairs area, Candace and Christine, to research and respond to all written inquiries written requests that are addressed to Barry Gilway, possibly a member of our Board of Governors. And we also help to respond to requests that we receive from legislatures that are made on behalf of one of their constituents. Slide four. CCT works closely with DFS to help resolve complaints that are reported directly to them. These complaints have a very strict response time that we must adhere to, so we typically respond within 14 days, even though Florida statute allows for a 20-day response time. We handle the initial intake of civil remedy notices that are filed with DFS, and CCT is also an integral part of the eStorm process. Slide five. We assist Michael Peltier with any responses that come through the media line, and periodically we do get some questions and complaints through social media, which we also help to resolve. Slide six. This is a screenshot of our website. This is where most of our inquiries are received from. They come in via email using the Contact Us option that's available on the Citizens website. And slide seven, we still get regular mail, which we refer to as direct correspondence. And this can be anything from a formal letter to even a handwritten note that's scribbled on an invoice. Slide eight, here is where we get into some of our statistics. This slide shows that we received 9,141 correspondence items in 2019. The first category is labeled contact record updates. This was high in 2019 because we did a campaign last year to encourage policyholders to have their email and cell phone numbers on file. So because of that campaign, we were actually glad to see those numbers increase this year. And as you can see, although the top five topics are listed, over half of what we responded to fall into other categories, which shows the diversity of the inquiries that we receive. Slide nine shows the channel that they come in. As you can see, the majority of our responses do come in via email, and only 118 of the 9,141 we received were addressed to the Board of Governors, Mr. Gilway, or from a legislator. Now, slide 10 shows the number of inquiries that are related to complaints. Of all that we received, only 1,000 of them were claims related. The inquiries related to claims, this slide shows how many were questions and then how many of them were categorized as a complaint. As you can see, it is almost half and half. And there you can also see the top five reason codes for the inquiries in each category. And slide 12. Although this information isn't specific to 2019, we did want to share some stats regarding complaints that are associated with weather events. And so the first is Hurricane Irma. Of the 76,905 claims filed, only 1,068 resulted in a written complaint. And on slide 13, of the 3,912 claims filed for Hurricane Michael, we've only received 85 complaints. And this concludes my presentation, unless anyone has any questions.
Members, do you have any questions of Alden?
Madam Chair, this is Blake Capps. I have one question.
Go ahead.
How many people work on the correspondence team?
We have 9 people on that team, sir.
9 people. Okay. That's all I have. Thanks.
Alden, Chairman Brown, I have a question. Do you have any indication of, and this may not be fair because I'm catching you off guard and I don't mean to, but, and of course, Irma and Michael would have increased the numbers of complaints because there's more contact with clients, but how did 19 fare against 18. Do we see any increase or decrease, or have we measured that? It's just a question. And I don't need, you know, in general, because as I said, I know you've got the claims that you're dealing with, and those always, it's a quiet year, obviously there's less going on, but are we seeing any increase or decrease from 18 to 19?
No, the numbers have been relatively consistent through both years. No significant increase in complaints at all through 2019. So, and Mary corrected me, there's 8 on the team and not 9, so sorry about that.
Great. Any other questions?
Madam Chair, this is Blake Capps again. I do have one more question. And I was wondering, like, in the typical responses to customer complaints, is there just one person who's responding, does it go through 2 or 3 channels? Like, okay, this person has prepared a draft response for this item, and now somebody else is going to review it. Just curious about what kind of oversight and teamwork goes into those types of responses.
Yes, it really depends on the type of inquiry it is. If it is underwriting specific, we do have underwriting SMEs that we work with to help research and formulate the response. Same with claims. There is a claims correspondence team that we do send claims specific questions over to, and they help us formulate the response. So everything routes back and forth through CCT to provide the final answer. And of course, there's general things that we can respond to without having to engage other departments. If it's how to make a payment online, you get lots of payments questions, or how to register for my policy, those can typically be handled without contact with other areas. And of course, we have a QA program. We have a quality team that goes behind and checks all of our correspondence to make sure we've given accurate responses, and our scores are typically well above our requirements. We're in the 97 to 98% accuracy category on a consistent basis.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions of Alden Mullins? Well, great. Thank you for that presentation. It's good to know you guys are on the complaints. I think it's, you know, you never hear the good news, you hear the bad news, but if you handle the bad news the correct way, it sure does go a long way. So thank you for that. We'll move along to Christine Ashburn, and she has some information in the booklet about what we've been doing to get the word out, and also an action item for the sponsorship for FPREN. So I'm sure you want to give us a little background on that, and then we'll discuss that.
Certainly. Good morning, Chair Brown and committee members. Yes, this for those of you who are newer to this committee and the board, we have partnered with the Florida Public Emergency Response Network, which is the public radio networks in Florida, over the last several years to be their title sponsor to help promote and give them the resources they need to cascade very quickly during storms and other times information. And what we get in return for that is consistent radio involvement and messaging across the public radio network in Florida. This sponsorship has been exceptionally beneficial to us. We actually get way more value dollar-wise than what we have spent, and we'll have before you an action item to continue that partnership. But I cannot tell you how invaluable. There's just you can't put a number on what we were able to do after Hurricanes Michael and Hurricane Irma. Having this sponsorship and this connection in place and this contract in place allows us to change messaging throughout the year relatively easily, whether it's AOB or other things, call citizens first, getting our claims number out there, getting our locations out there when we have CRCs, catastrophe response centers. We message throughout the year, but after the hurricane, having this in place allows us to very quickly let people know what's going on in the areas where they've been impacted, where we're going to be, how to get a claim filed, to target our messaging following a storm and really cut through red tape. So this is the different thing we're doing this year is we actually have before you an action item today that would allow us to be the Florida statewide title sponsor for 2020 through 2023, which allows us to lock in the rate that they have now for the next 3 years, as we've seen rates continue to grow every year, not substantially, but reasonably. So this would allow us to lock in the fees for the next 3 years. This is public radio. This is actually a program, this emergency response network that was actually supported and helped put together by the legislature. So this is all, I think, very positive. This is a budgeted item. Funding for the first year of sponsorship is included in the 2020 annual operating budget, and we would budget for the subsequent years and our subsequent budget years. The total contract amount for the sponsorship is $613,824, but the actual total value over the three-year period for what media coverage we get is over $1.5 million in actual value if we were to go buy this media space, this TV, internet, and radio over the same time. So the action item requests that the Citizens Board approve and this committee today staff to authorize enter a sponsorship agreement for content via radio, television, digital, and social media within the Florida Public Media, Florida Public Radio Emergency Network sponsorships on this network. And they're just as a note, they're purely informational, so we can't do a call to action, and we do not advertise in that way. Citizen-sponsored spots on these channels help to inform customers and stakeholders of current programs and educational information initiatives that citizens such as call Citizens First. As I noted, during hurricane season, sponsorship assets are leveraged to promote preparedness efforts, broadcast claims, reporting information, and notify customers of our Catastrophe Response Center and Insurance Village locations. Participating in this sponsorship allows citizens to reach a great number of customers and stakeholders through these media outlets that they already monitor. And just to give you some statistics about the value of what this really gives for us, Florida Public Media reaches nearly 1.5 million listeners weekly. Radio promos will run drive time and selected times during the daily schedule. Specific messaging will air during hurricane season to promote the preparedness and inform listeners about our CRC locations if needed. The radio spots will have a 34 million impressions, which means people who have heard the spot, and have an estimated value of about $604,000. The TV promos reach an estimated 203 million total viewers and have a $323,000 value. And the integrated web tile on FM Storm Safety page and featured link on the homepage will generate an estimated 1.7 million views monthly, approximately 62 million views over the three-year agreement. Co-sponsorship of FM Storm Safety events is valued at $15,000 for the three-year agreement. And as I mentioned, the total value of the package as described is a value of $1.556 million for the three-year term with a cost of $613,824. And if there are no questions, I'm happy to read the recommendation. I should note the procurement method, as it has been in the past, is sole source. And we did do the required 72-hour intent to award notice to ensure there were no other vendors out there that could provide these services.
Members, do you have
any questions?
This is Reynolds Henderson. I have one question. Just related to the internet and Do they do any Facebook or any of these social media networks? Will it be working those when we need to? Because so many people get their information on Facebook or Instagram, et cetera, Twitter. And is it gonna blanket those as part of this contract? Because I'm very much in favor of this contract either way. I'm just curious.
Yes, they do. They do have a social media presence. And yes, so we, as you know, we have a social media presence, but they absolutely are active on social media and it's a significant digital presence that is obviously would be ramped up when there are storms or other events occurring. So, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions of Christine while we have her to discuss this? Now, I do have a quick one before we call a motion on it to recommend to the board. How many years have we been doing this?
I believe this is, we are, 2019 was our third year. And I can double check. Yeah, at least 3 years. I think that's Mike Sears, who runs this project, contract for us, just wrote me and said 3 years. So this week is going, this would take us into six, we would then complete 6 years doing this. And, I can't underestimate how valuable this has been to us.
Well, I hear it on I listen to WLRN. I hear it frequently, especially during the season. So, yeah, we're very visible on those public radio channels, at least. Okay, so
yes.
Then.
And, Madam Chair, if I could make one note. Sure, before I read if it's okay with you, before I read the recommendation, just one typo note on the contract term on the action item. The contract term is stated as March 15th. It's actually March 25th, which would be a pending approval of the board. So I apologize for that typo, and we will correct that to March 25th for the action item in the board book.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Blake. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Yes, Christine, these radio spots are given out during the hurricane season, and say there's a hurricane season where we don't have any hurricanes, is the frequency of the spots different in that scenario than in a scenario where we actually have a hurricane? The frequency and the messaging, of course, I'm sure would be different, but just curious as to, are the spots ramped up a lot during an actual event?
Yes, that's a great question. The answer to that is yes. So we have a year-round sponsorship, but obviously we'd be focused in hurricane season. Our messaging would be focused on the season. So we're guaranteed spots and coverage throughout the year. But as there's a storm in the box, the reporting of tropical updates and such that we sponsor does increase our spots. So we get a benefit of having additional coverage when there are storms, but we are guaranteed coverage under this contract whether or not there's a hurricane. So it would increase when we do have storms, but we've got good coverage and we're guaranteed coverage whether or not there's a storm. So yes, it does increase, but we're covered regardless.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Super. So would you go ahead and read the recommendation, Christine, please?
Yes. Citizen staff recommends the Board of Governors approve the recommended award and resulting sponsorship to Florida Public Media, authorize staff to take any appropriate or necessary actions consistent with this action item, and approve of the 3-year Florida statewide title sponsorship not to exceed $613,824. And that is the recommendation, Madam Chair.
And we would be approving, recommending to the board the approval.
To the board, that's correct. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, this is Blake Cash. I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
Second, Reynolds Henderson.
Any objections? Okay, then we pass the motion to recommend to the board to approve this action item.
Thank you for your support.
Yes.
And Christine, I know there's also a single source contract page in the book. You want to talk about that and also some of our advertising and public media information?
Sure. So this notice is just to show you that, like I mentioned, that the item we had was single source. That this was what we posted, and then really the presentation in the back is really just to give you all additional detail of what we're really getting for this and what this sponsorship really means to us. So unless there are any questions on the detail, I think the highlights were covered in the talking points I shared with you all prior to the vote.
Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
Is there any new business to come before this committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Madam Chair, it's Reynolds Henderson. I move that we adjourn.
This is Phil Zellman. I will second that motion.
Thank you all. Be safe, and we'll talk to everybody at the board meeting next week.
Thank you all.
Thank you, folks.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.